What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It's the FightfulSelect.com Q&A show for June 23rd. Just a reminder, next week I will be in London. I may try to bring you guys some bonus content and the like, but Jimmy Vand will be doing a Q&A here. You'll be able to get a lot of great business acumen there that will definitely be helpful and enlighten you to the process of the way that we do a lot of things, but we got a lot to talk about, and we got one thing specifically that you guys seem to want to talk about. So let's go ahead and kick off with CM Punk related stuff. This is going to be very all-encompassing, so to speak. Let's go ahead and get into it. Hi, SRS. Are you hearing chat at the level Dave Meltzer is reporting regarding the morale in AEW? Is it at the level of Rumble 2022? Well done staying impartial in your reporting. Is there any truth to Meltzer's reports of things being worse than ever at AEW? Seems hard to believe that it can be worse than Brawl Out. Seems like someone doesn't like Punk and cried to Dave while the main parties are minding their own business. The Bucks openly made light of the promo. What's with the hit pieces or ugly rumors coming out on CM Punk? Seems like when AEW does well, there seems to be a rumor if there's heat or drama in regards to Punk. I, for one, am happy he is back. I was at Collision and Dynamite, and both were incredible shows. Let's try to attack this at all levels. No, I cannot say that I have heard the same things that Dave Meltzer has. I definitely don't see it anywhere as bad as what I saw it after All Out, or even around some points of the summer last year when there were a lot of frustrated people over a ton of injuries, changes, last-minute decisions, and the like. So based on my experience and talking with talent, I don't see that. I don't see it nearly anywhere close to that. There are a lot of people asking, did the Young Bucks know that that promo was coming? Did Hangman know that was coming? They knew something was coming. Like, for example, Hangman Page was, his people were made aware that that interview was coming a week before it came out. He was also told a little bit of details about what was coming out in the ESPN interview ahead of time. The Young Bucks, Hangman, Kenny Omega, they are not dumb. They knew that there was going to be a firecracker line and a promo. I don't know if they knew what the line would be or anything like that, but they wisely made the decision to do a pre-tape for Dynamite as well, and then CM Punk would be on Dynamite. That was the best possible outcome for all of the talent involved there. The Young Bucks, based on the people that I talked to, some people had reached out to them. They're like, no, it's okay. It's all good. Everything's fine type of thing. I've been given some like conflicting things from people that are near the Elite about the status of their deals, like that the framework is drawn up, that the deals could be imminent, anything like that. But then there are times they're like, yeah, I wonder how if people know that these deals aren't done. They're not finished. And anything could happen between now and whenever. As far as the main parties minding their own business, Hangman Page has been minding his own business for like a year. Outside of those lines and the Double or Nothing thing, you haven't seen Hangman Page talking about this to anybody publicly. And based on what I hear, he doesn't talk to people privately about it either. Like, he very much wants to remove himself from that situation. And there is no gag order between Punk and Hangman because there was no physical altercation. As far as Omega and the Bucks, I'm sure that they've mentioned it to people close to them, but I don't hear a lot of discussion there either outside of just, you know, trying to keep morale above where, you know, above bad levels or anything like that. Like, I know a lot of people question their EVP status and stuff like that. They're very well liked in the company. They do have a lot of supporters in the company. And they do have a lot of people that just wish this thing would go away. I do know that, yes, to back up Wade Keller's report, there was a top talent that was not happy about that and about Punk being on Dynamite because many of them were told, hey, you ain't gonna have to deal with this guy here, and they didn't want to have to deal with him. Now, anything can happen. Any fences can be mended and apologies can be made. We've got, for example, people asking, was there ever an apology to the locker room? To the best of my understanding, the ESPN article served as the apology to the locker room. I haven't heard of any additional apology to the locker room. And from what I understand, CM Punk admitting that he was wrong in the scrum, which I don't know how you could say that he wasn't and that it wasn't handled poorly. It was. It absolutely was. was his apology, and he did that. And I don't know if you necessarily have to round up all the troops, so to speak, for that. But Punk has apologized to Tony Khan. He apologized to the world via the ESPN thing. But this is very much one of those things where I'm going to say, guys, choose your own adventure. I've opted to be like, you know what? These are five of the most fascinating performers that I have been able to cover. And I've talked to people from all sides of this situation. And there's a lot of things that I agree with. There's a lot of things I don't agree with. There's a lot of things that I understand that people won't get over. There's a lot of things that I think that they should get over. However, I was asked, is it at the level of Royal Rumble 2022? No, it ain't nowhere close to that. Royal Rumble 2022 had such a bad morale that I was able to do a full long form feature on it. It was so bad, it developed about a half dozen sources for me within WWE. It was so bad that even many of Vince's final hangers-on that had faith in him from a creative aspect completely abandoned that. Now, were there some that questioned leadership in AEW after Brawl Out? Yes. Are there some still that are like, eh, I wish this would have been handled much differently than it was? Yeah, absolutely. I'm just not experiencing the same things that Dave is from the people that I talk to. Now, granted, we probably talk to many different people. I know we talk to some of the same people. Dave has outright said that. But there were a lot of happy people after Collision that felt like, going into the show, maybe the company was not prepared for 2 more hours. And then when the show was over, they were like, hell yeah, we're ready for 2 hours. Not only are we ready for 2 hours, Dynamite's going to benefit from these 2 hours as well. So there was a lot of really positive reception coming out of Collision last Saturday. I completely understand that some of the lines from Collision and then the line, maybe middle fingers, maybe silent middle fingers to the Elite are definitely causing some alarm and causing some people to be like, why they got to do that? Why they got to do that? To me, I look at it as get it out of your system. We're talking about a bunch of guys between the age of 35 and 45 here. If they can't figure it out on their own, I don't know what to tell you, man. To me, there ain't nothing in this situation more important than the art and the money that can be made off of this. We're not dealing with people that are racists or bigots or anybody trying to sleep with anybody's wife or trying to ruin their life or family or anything like that. There is nothing in this situation that can't be overcome by just some common sense, some discussion, and the will to work together. And I don't think that there needs to be a timer put on people's willingness to work with one another. Now, of course, there are some talent backstage that, you know, there are still people that think that Montreal was a work. This wasn't a work. It hasn't been a work. And unless they got together and made some super, super secret pact to keep it from their closest friends, their reps, their agents, their attorneys, well, this ain't a work as of now either. I desperately hope one day it will be. But close to Royal Rumble 2022, oh no, that was real bad. And that was a lot tied to booking and management and stuff like that. The two worst I've ever seen were Royal Rumble 2022, which, you know, within 7 months was a 180 turnaround, and the morale's been pretty damn solid since then, with the exception of a lot of the Vince changes. But then the TNA period where people weren't getting paid, that was a really, really bad one as well. We've got people asking how AEW will handle Punk and the Elite in the same building on Sunday. Is there a chance of them meeting? There's always a chance of that. There's always a chance of that happening. Now, I want to say Kenny Omega and the Elite and the Hangman's side have claimed that they don't know of any effort to reach out via attorneys or anything like that. And I was specifically told that was when Punk had tried to reach out to Kenny and was told that, but they didn't, it would have to have been somebody besides his main rep or anything like that. But there's always an opportunity that they meet. Now, the Elite have had their own locker room since the beginning. Like, and I don't know who all else does. I just know that they do. So not trying to make them sound pretentious or anything. They just got their own locker room. It's on BTE all the time. And it won't be like they're in that same locker room or anything. Also, who else was in the running to face Punk at the pay-per-view once Kenta bailed? I assume Kojima wasn't the only choice for the Owen. Shingo? El Fantasmo? I heard El Fantasma was a top option mentioned, and I heard Jeff Cobb was mentioned by a couple people as well. Other than that, hadn't heard of a bunch that were pitched for him, because a lot of the people, like I mentioned Suzuki and Ishii, and I was told they're already booked. They're already booked up. Any news on future plans for FTR? Are they sticking with Punk, or will they be defending their titles soon? I think they'll be defending their titles soon, but also, I think that they're going to be contingent with Punk. They're going to be associated with him. Has the situation with Punk changed how people viewed Cody? It seemed Cody was the polarizing figure in AEW for the longest time. Now it feels incredibly tame compared to how people feel about Punk. I'm going to give you guys a little insight here. So I did a special at the one-year mark of breaking the CM Punk back to AEW story. I'm going to do more of those on Fightful Select once I get the time. But I was getting hints about the Cody Rhodes situation for days before it happened. And I was just trying my best to nail it down, because I know a lot of people think that just people come and stooge stuff off. But a lot of times you'll get sent very cryptic hints and stuff like that. And I'll never post based on that. So I'm trying to nail down, what is this? What is this thing that people keep telling me? Shit's going to hit the fan. Wild stuff is about to happen. And then, without getting a lot of answers, I remember I was on the phone with John Alba at the time. And I had asked multiple people in AEW, is this news good news or is it bad news? And at the same time, I got messages back from two people that said, it depends on who you ask, or something like that. And John Alba and I at the same exact time went, Cody Rhodes. It's something with Cody Rhodes, which is wild to me because he is very, very loved in WWE. There are definitely people that, in the absence of Cody and seeing what he could do in WWE, have changed their stance a little bit on him, for sure. But I think that pretty much everybody knows that marriage is effectively done. And I don't think it's anything related to Punk, and Cody never had any issues with Punk as far as I know. Is there any update about Chris Hero being backstage last weekend? He was there at Collision. He's getting a tryout in a backstage role. He seemed very happy there from what I understand. More AEW stuff. A lot of AEW stuff this week. They're getting a lot of attention right now. Kylie Rae, seemingly in a good headspace. Was there ever talk of her going back to AEW prior to her pregnancy? I don't want to say like immediately prior to her pregnancy, because she got a WWE tryout then. Kylie Rae gets a lot of opportunities, despite mental health issues, because she's very good and she is such a wonderful person and she is a great in-ring performer, and everybody likes her. And you know, she had her opportunities with Impact, with NWA, with WWE, with AEW. There were people in AEW that felt like there was a window for her to come back as well in the future. There were a whole lot of conspiracy theories about why it was that Kylie Rae left AEW. And Kylie Rae publicly said, nobody made me leave AEW. Now, I do know the story, and it's not something that I'm willing to report. If it's something that she wants to put out there, that's fine. But to the best of my knowledge, it wasn't anything scandalous like was being rumored. And it got to the point of misinformation within the wrestling world that I had probably 8 people with blue check marks, back when those actually meant something and you could tell who people were, that told me this is the story, and they were 8 different stories. They could have not worked in unison. Those stories could not have happened concurrently. So at that point, I had made the decision, well, unless she comes out and says it herself, there's no way I can publish anybody's accountings of what they claimed happened, unless they want to say it on the record publicly and put their name, face, and quote to it. And obviously nobody did. So, it was not nearly as salacious as the speculation, or at least based on the final determination that I had made in looking around about the story. And we did an interview after that, and she effectively confirmed what I had heard off air, and it wasn't that big of a deal. She didn't really want to talk about it, so we had a great interview outside of that. Since rumors are swirling about Carlito and WWE, are there any word about other signings? Well, I think there's people that they haven't used on TV yet that have been signed, but that's about it. Sean, what was the reaction backstage when the Elite made fun of Punk during their matches in Chicago back in November? Well, initially there was hope that things had been rectified and this was leading to an angle, but since then, the people that I talked to had a very, very good point. The Elite were going to get booed heavily at Wintrust at that Thanksgiving show, but they lost. They put over Death Triangle. They lost to Pac, Penta, and Rey Fénix. So there was a means to the end of that. It wasn't just doing it for the sake of doing it. They were doing it for heel heat, and then they lost and gave the crowd exactly what they wanted, which was them losing. Best guess on Rumble location, I am going to say Orlando. Is Nevaeh going to be sticking around in Impact? I haven't heard of a full-time deal. Is Kim Chi in MLW right now? Steve Lombardi. Steve Lombardi wishes. That Kim Chi is way small. Is Roman really not defending his championship till SummerSlam? As best I know, outside of live events, he wasn't planned to. He defended against Rey Mysterio in Cincinnati. People asking me who I think it will be in at SummerSlam. Jay makes a lot of sense. I would actually love it if it were Jay and Jimmy in a triple threat match. I think that would be kind of cool if there was the imminent threat that one of them could lay down for the other in order to screw him out of the title. And then that implodes too. If you had to take a guess, who would Seth Rollins face at SummerSlam? So it seems like Cody and Brock are headed towards SummerSlam. I could see it being a newly returning heel Drew McIntyre. To me, that makes the most sense. And in the meantime, you need to develop additional contenders underneath because Raw is sort of thin at the top levels beyond Judgment Day with that. But yeah, I would like to see that. Why does WBD feel so negative on the ROH brand? They felt negative on them for a very, very long time, from what I understand. Dating back to before they were ever an AEW property. So I don't think that this is anything new. I just think that they weren't interested. I don't think that they've kind of liked that for quite a while, and it just carried over. Or else they would have it. How and when do you see them debuting Nick Wayne after his 18th birthday in the match that they had announced with Swerve? And that kind of carries over into this person asking, Forbidden Door 2 open for businesses this Sunday, and it seems like a gathering of the Humpalos. What's the possibility of AEW working a joint pay-per-view with other promotions like GCW, PWG, Defy, or Beyond? None, and I'll tell you why. One, the relationship with GCW ain't good. PWG, Defy, and Beyond, they already use that talent. I mean, a lot of the big name talent from those places are people that they have under contract. These places don't have people under contract, so there's really no reason to do a joint pay-per-view and share revenue with those companies. Maybe if GCW, like, for some reason rose to such undeniable heights that they couldn't avoid it, but I don't think right now that that is going to be a plan. Any rumors suggesting AEW is planning something big for the Dynamite in Boston next month? They couldn't sell 4 tickets last time they came here, so it seems odd they do an arena that can hold 18K. Yeah, they are planning something big. That's really all I got right now. I just know that they're planning something big. Are we to assume that Billy Starks and Johnny gimmick name have signed with AEW? Yep, both of them have. We've got the story dropping on Fightful Select today about Johnny. He is signing. Were there any obstacles from the WWE side or AEW to keep Cody Rhodes in Fight Forever? Not that I am aware of. I think that they pretty much had that sealed down beforehand. And this isn't anything new. They do that with a lot of figures, with a lot of video games when people hop over. Is there an update on when Grayson Waller will be cleared to compete? I don't know if he's not cleared. I just was told they're not in a rush to have him wrestle because he's doing really well at the Waller effect. Do you think there's more than a 1% chance that Goldberg is in AEW by the end of the year? Yeah, there's there's more than a 1% chance that he's there before next week. And I'm not saying that he is. I'm just saying they very clearly had talks, and it's very clear that Tony Khan is a fan of Goldberg's and would love to do some business with him, and has inquired many times in the past, has met with his agent before. So it seems like quite a few wrestlers who were drafted haven't shown up on TV. Do you have any update on creative plans? Well, there were several that it was just sink or swim time for them to get called up. Others were free agents and they wanted to kind of take their time understanding what they were going to do with them, but knew that it was time to bring them up. There are a couple that are sidelined right now as well, including somebody asking about Indy. I was told they were waiting for that to heal up before she were to come back to TV. We got somebody saying, with the ownership between New Japan and AEW, do you think we could see New Japan talent in Fight Forever as DLC someday? If not that, then in future games. I know originally the plan for Fight Forever was to do one-off, one release, and constant updates, but now they've sunk so much money into it that I think they're going to have to do multiple releases in the future. But the big thing is building the game engine. That's the biggest thing, is getting that engine done and being able to use that in the future. And they now have that. Somebody asked, was Justin Micucci, that guy's real name, still thinking about that? Well, I will answer that with a question from my friend, Justin Micucci. Justin asks, Mercedes Moné posted on Twitter Wednesday, for the first time since her injury, with Willow facing Tony at Forbidden Door, do you think she shows up in some capacity before, during, or after the match? Maybe looking into it, but found suspicious she posted that randomly the week of Forbidden Door. I could absolutely see her showing up and maybe facing off with Willow. I would have loved if this was for the New Japan Strong title, and Willow won, and then Mercedes answered it, and they set something up for Boston, and then Mercedes wins the title back that she was supposed to win. I don't know of her update, the injury update, or anything like that, but I think that would have been cool. Maybe it's wishful thinking. I know that AEW had interest in bringing her in, though. So, by the way, yes, that is a real name. Justin Micucci reached out to me, and he's like, listen, buddy, I've lived with this name my whole life. I'm glad it could bring you some joy, and it did. And guess what? He's a wonderful guy. A friend I have now, Justin Micucci. Great guy. Any updates on injuries to Layla Hirsch, Serena Deeb, the Bunny? Serena Deeb isn't injured, and Layla Hirsch is good to go. They're just coming up with creative for her. Was Harry Smith asked to be in the Owen? Any chance he competes at Wembley? He wasn't, and I haven't heard of any plans to have him at Wembley. What happened to Riho? She's there. She's been at Dynamite the last couple of weeks doing stuff. Hi, Sean. Curious about Billy Stark's contract status with AEW. She is signed. How much does a Legends contract pay? There's a couple different kind of deals. There are some that they have on a certain amount of money or a downside based on the appearances that they make. So they'll have them do signings and stuff like that at Access or media junkets or whatever. There are some that are sort of guarantees against the money they hypothetically would have earned with their merchandise, that then they just don't pay out merchandise because they would never realistically reach that amount. Where has Lance Archer been? Seems like he would be a perfect fit for Collision. He has been dealing with an injury, unfortunately. He had a tricep injury. Is Will Ospreay a free agent, or is he signed to AEW like Kyle Fletcher? He is signed to New Japan through February of next year, and I believe he's going to be evaluating his options, although he's made it pretty clear he likes New Japan. He likes living where he lives as well. Picked up NordVPN. Thanks to you, Sean. Which website do you use to order UFC pay-per-views for cheap? Unable to find any. I don't think that it is legal for me to mention that in conjunction with advertisers, but you know what? I will refer you to both the Twitter search bar and their 24/7 customer support. I'm just saying, I'm visiting London next week, and I've visited London virtually a few times. You hinted at plans for Julia and AEW. Could you elaborate? Is there any interest in anyone else in Club Venus? I can't speak about individual interest for talent beyond Julia. I was just told that that was a name thrown around as one that would get them a lot of buzz associated with stardom. I wasn't told of any plans for Julia there. But this was a part of those conversations that people on the internet swore didn't exist and did exist, where they indicated to stardom that Julia would be a person that they're interested in, whether it be now or in the future. Any upcoming plans for Emma? No, I was told she was one of the hires they made for depth. Do you think Batista finally headlines a Hall of Fame in 2024? Do you think they may wait for a more major metropolitan area in Philly, or then Philly, for his induction? Philly's a big city, but I think you could put a major name, like Paul Heyman in there. Put him in there, for the love of God. Do an ECW name. Whose idea was it to unify the NXT and WWE Women's Tag Team Championships when NXT has more female tag teams in the main roster? Well, it was always going to be the WWE title taking over there. But all I heard was higher ups. I assume Nick Khan and Triple H. Any word on how WWE officials feel about Ludwig Kaiser? Dude is killing it. Well, they particularly like his intros, especially. I haven't heard much of on his in-ring work or anything like that, but I know his intros got really, really positive reception. What happened to the rundown for Raw and SmackDown? I've answered this a few times, but I'll answer them again. I'm planning for those to come back. I don't want to say when, but I'm planning for them to come back. There were some things and some instances where I looked at the situation and I was like, you know what? This changed. I'm going to be a little bit more careful with these, because one thing I'm not going to do is get somebody shit-canned for giving me rundowns of Raw and SmackDown. And if... you know, that's why you plop down $5. We got lots of other shit here for you, but they'll return. I just wasn't comfortable with some of the changes that were being made on there, and I want to bring you guys accurate info. Is All Out still planned for Labor Day weekend? Any word on a venue? Yeah. Last I heard, it was planned for the United Center. But they said, I feel like All In, All Out on back-to-back weekends could be AEW's version of a two-night WrestleMania. Yep, that's the plan. That is the active plan, assuming something big doesn't happen. But somebody says, June's coming to an end. Have you heard where they're going to be showing All In, whether it be on Max or Bleacher Report or anywhere else? I believe it'll be either Max or Bleacher Report. It's going to be shown on pay-per-view. It's not going to not be shown on pay-per-view, or it'll be broadcast. Any news on the Bobby Lashley absence? Yeah, he was back last weekend. Need a little time off. But yeah, he's back in Cincy. He's good to go. He's not hurt. Where do you think Jordynne Grace will end up? If I were her and I had the offer, I'd go with AEW, because then you can still run your exclusive content page, and that serves as a commercial for your exclusive content page. Stayed in Lexington for a night, about a half mile from Toy Vomit and 3 from Rupp over the weekend in my cross-country drive. Love Toy Vomit. Need to make another trip to the city again. Question is, are you shocked cinematic matches quickly died off post-pandemic? First off, glad that you stayed in Lexington. It's legitimately my favorite city in the world. It's the perfect size. We finally got stuff coming back here. I'm not shocked that cinematic matches died off so quickly, because there was a bit of a fatigue behind them. Because, man, that was a long year and a half. That was a very, very long year and a half. And I don't think anybody wants to go back to that, but they haven't completely died. We still had some Sting stuff. We still had Hardy stuff, but there will be some here and there when appropriate. Any word on when EJ Nduka might be making his debut for AEW? There have been some stuff pitched, but I don't know. I don't think that there's anything imminent. Hi, Sean, do you know what the future vision for ROH is for talent? Are they going to sign talent on the indies or bring them in part-time? A little bit of both. I think they're going to be a little more controlled with how they sign people, because I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of people signed that probably wouldn't have gotten signed elsewhere, as we've seen in the past. I think that will also be a point to highlight independent talent on that show as well. Sean, have you heard anything on who's actually planned to beat Roman, or is that not the type of thing you get info about? I would imagine it's either Jay or a Cody redemption story. I don't do a ton of spoilers. Sometimes I do, but I'm not sure they know who's going to beat Roman right now. But if they did, it's possible I'd get info about it. Again, we're reporters, not Miss Cleo, but It's hard to say for me if they even have an idea, because I thought that it was a slam dunk idea with Cody. Have you heard of Vince changing the winner or outcome of the match? Given Vince's involvement, do you still consider this a new regime since Triple H is still head of creative? Yeah, because there's a lot of people who wouldn't even be in this company without Triple H being at the helm and Vince being involved. But it is a situation where Vince does change a lot of stuff. I got yelled at a whole lot when I ran a report earlier this year. And I said that at least one talent was adamant it was happening. And I had people saying, you got one source. Well, that's not true. I backed it up with multiple people after that, but there was one that was adamant. And since then, it's been proven absolutely true. That's what's happening, and it's happening even more after the sale. But yes, he changed a winner outcome during WrestleMania weekend. Do we know the contract for Jay White as of years? I just know it's multi-year. Any reason why the contrast between the wrestlers and the crowd was made in AEW? The lighting on the crowd changed and the brightness of them as well. It changes from week to week depending on the arena, depending on the crowd, depending on the venue. Like, for example, here at Rupp Arena, you will see a much higher second level than floor level, so they will adjust it. In Wintrust, it's a very, very good place to light heavily. So it really depends on the venue, the crowd, and the attendance. Do you think there's any one match that, if announced, could sell out the rest of Wembley all on its own? Yeah, probably CM Punk versus somebody in the Elite. Virtually anybody in the Elite, I think. Hey, Sean, you said that AEW was interested in Julia. Is there any info on New Japan Stardom? Maybe interested in one of the female AEW wrestlers. Greetings from Germany. Thanks for the best $5 news service. Well, thank you so much for subscribing all the way from Germany. I know that AEW had mentioned the possibility of maybe sending somebody over for a while. I don't know if that was just floated or if that was something that was set or pitched, but I know it was mentioned. Sean, I was wondering how the Boxing Coalition worked and what states have them. Well, boxing, pretty much every one of them. Wrestling is a lot different. Wrestling is still a few of them. Wrestling is a complete money grab. Boxing, they use it for safety. You got to get cleared. And it's really, that's a full podcast in its own, but it's a regulatory body that makes sure that there are safety and fair practices within a lot of sports, especially combat sports. More of a business question, how do you decide which shows stay on Fightful despite losing money? So, well, I like business questions just fine. So let's, for example, I'll run you through our shows that we have. Wrestling Perspective Podcast, they basically provide us content for platform. That's what they want. Cool. There's no money lost there. It works out. Denise is paid her rate for our shows, and almost all the time I can pay that rate because I know our super chats will at least exceed that. Now, obviously, we want to greatly exceed that, but usually when me and Denise are doing a show together, not an issue. On stuff like the prediction show that we just kicked off, I just want those shows basically to match the rate that we're paying the person that's going to be on there, because that is additional coverage. My idea is that I would love coverage of Impact ROH. We don't make our money back on that. Not yet. Now, in July, we might, because Kate sold some ads for that. Kate is now selling our ads, so she gets a cut of those ads as well. And that will help cover the fee that we have to pay four people to be on the Impact ROH show. AEW show always makes money. Raw show always makes money. SmackDown's a little bit hit or miss since I haven't been on it, but obviously we're going to cover SmackDown. There's no ifs, ands, or buts there. NXT is a show that I didn't expect to make money, and as a result of Kate and Alex being so engaging and making it their own thing, it has ended up doing very, very well. Grapsity is another one of those. It takes care of itself. They get a cut of the show and a flat rate in addition. And then sometimes there are ads that get sold, and as a result of them wanting to be on Grapsity, they get a piece of that. What do you guys want to talk about? That show always makes money. And the reason why I like that, and I'm pushing Listin' Ya Boy to be more of a Super Chat-driven show, is because we make about 30 to 40% more on those. The viewership isn't always as high, but we make a lot more money on those. So it's sort of weighing those two options. Do we care more about going through all the topics, or do we care more about generating super chats and humper chats? And usually The super chats and humper chats will dictate what people want to talk about anyway. That's the point of the show. So really, we've only got like one or two shows that don't make money or just barely break even on Fightful. The interviews are ones that sometimes don't make money because the views are low on there and we're more of a podcast platform. But I want that because our audience wants that. And I want that because it shows you guys on the select end that these people are willing to talk to us on camera. So you don't ever have to wonder, well, gee, I wonder if Sean's really talking to anybody. Gee, I wonder if Fightful really has any sources. I mean, you know we do because we've got people willing to talk to us on screen dozens a month on top of that. So there's a rhyme and reason for a little bit of everything. Did you get anything from AEW on Fight Forever on Steam? I sent THQ Nordic support question, but I haven't heard anything yet. Yeah, I've got it on Steam. I got my review copy on Steam, actually, and that's what all the wrestlers play it on. So, yeah, I've got a PS5 copy and a Steam copy. Any update on Tama Tonga or any of the GOD? I asked recently. I'm waiting to hear back on that, but they've got some New Japan plans, at least. Do you think it's because now he's involved in creative when Bryan Danielson's contract with AEW, is he more likely to re-sign? If he chooses to go back to WWE, do you think they'll offer him a creative position? I do think they'd offer him a creative position because he had a creative position before. I wonder if they would allow him to wrestle part-time if he were in WWE, because we have seen in the past where they haven't, depending on certain situations. I'm not sure that right now, based on what we had reported this week, that he would be able to wrestle in WWE. But I can't say that for sure. That's just me and my little hunch. Main question. Heard online that there will be some release waves, I guess, in July. Can you confirm this? Nope, haven't heard that. Tony, or Nick Khan, rather, told some agents that talent cuts weren't coming. So it's really his word there. Considering a heavy stance on AI with most people, what were the reactions backstage to Tony trying to use AI to make a Dynamite episode, assuming people knew about it before he talked about it in that one interview recently? I think it, okay, so I only heard one person talk about this, and they were just like, well, I think that's just Tony seeing how something like that would work, right? To see how, if anything like that, could just conjure up some magic just out of nowhere and see. They didn't see it different than any other thing where you just throw something at the wall and see if it works. Do you think WDB style hurts talent or helps them if they get into the program? If it's repeated short matches, it hurts. If you get into a really good, juicy storyline, it's great, because WWE does story as well as anybody within this realm. Who's really behind the decision to only feature one women's match on AEW TV? Tony or someone at WBD? So, and he says, because the way Tony books women in ROH is way different than AEW. Someone in AEW claimed to me that was not a mandate from WBD. That was like a year and a half ago. And we had reported that then. But I don't necessarily know if that has changed or adjusted, especially with this exclusive content agreement. I'll ask, though. That is something I'm definitely going to ask about. Which direction do you see Dark Order going? Recruiting new members, merging with the Righteous, or something else? I would like to see a darker Dark Order. And I would like to see them merge with the Righteous. I think that would work really, really well for them. Give them more of an edge. They can't always be have the Hangman Association. Eventually they can. Eventually he can show that soft spot for them. But I think they need some edge. Hey, Sean, thanks for all the hard work. Do you get any sense that AEW would rather have moved Forbidden Door to another time, considering the gravity of what All In London means to the company? Feel like having 2 months to hype up feuds would have given them more space to make this a much more meaningful event with tighter storylines. Well, they've got a decent amount of time. So that's this weekend, but they have 5 Wednesdays to build this. Or gosh, more than that. They've got 9 Wednesdays to build this up. So, I mean, they've got the 2 months. I mean, maybe without All Out. I mean, that's going to be a big week for them, guys. Like, they're throwing everything at the wall this summer. Boston's going to be a big show. You're going to have Forbidden Door, obviously. You got All In. You got All Out. I don't know if they're going to do Grand Slam still, but I'm going to find out. But, damn, man, they got a lot going on. Have you heard any backstage reactions to Logan Paul being in the Money in the Bank ladder match or his involvement in general with the company? I hear that he's very respectful, very liked, and people appreciate his work ethic and his ability. I know Fightful covers top promotions, but in the past there's been coverage of various indie promotions. What goes into the process of covering said independents? Is it based on the popularity of the promotion, names on the show, etc.? Sometimes we're asked to. Sometimes they'll provide us access. Generally, if a staff member of Fightful hits me up and says, hey, I want to cover this, well, hell yeah, you're more than welcome to. Sometimes we're granted interview access. That's always a helpful. Like Black Label Pro and Billy Starks's show, The Fright Night, offered us interview access, so we were there covering it. There are certain situations where they got to know I'm not going to cover them. For example, I did the GCW clusterfuck last year, and I had to say, listen, I'm not giving any additional coverage to this show because that would appear to me as payment, and I don't accept payment for wrestling appearances if I do something as a character. So if I ever do a match, I mean, I'm going to promote my match individually on my own social media, but I'm not going to accept money outside of charitable donations that are made for a good cause for exchange for coverage like that. I don't feel comfortable doing that. But a lot of times if it is local to one of our reporters and they get interview access, well, sure. I mean, Steven Jensen does that all the time, and he gets you guys a lot of really good short-form interviews here for Select. Hey, Sean, do you have any idea why House of Black has been so spotty on TV since the last pay-per-view, and if there's a reason they're not on Forbidden Door? Well, none of them are hurt, to the best of my knowledge. I just think that it's very hit or miss with the booking of the trios, and I think they really need to step into that. There's no reason they shouldn't be on Forbidden Door. You find three people in the faction-based New Japan, and you run a match. But I don't have an answer as to why. They're still on TV. There still are some creative plans, but I haven't heard that any of them are hurt. Hey, Sean, based on the brutal reception to Dana Brooke's performance on Tuesday night, has there been any internal discussions about her future? There aren't generally internal discussions about, like, firing people anymore based on that. They just figure they can have somebody do something else. They'll have her out doing media and community events and stuff like that. They have her doing that more than wrestling right now, which is perhaps the reason why performances like that end up happening. She needs to be given like a full reboot, I think. Needs to be going, and she needs to be given an actual chance to show if she can sink or swim, and I use that term a lot. And she needs to be given that opportunity because most of the matches that she had on the main roster have not been that. See if she can go, see if she can't. If not, find something else for her to do there. Guys, thank you all so much. Over 42 minutes of Q&A. Thank you all so much. Jimmy will be here next week. I'll be back the week after. We're out.